Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, welcome everyone. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And, of course, I am broadcasting live today from beautiful but cold Atlanta, Georgia. And I just want to thank all of my listeners from all over the world, it seems. I think now 121 countries. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And my declaration over your life is that the best is yet to come. You know, I always say you have to believe that, don't you? Well, as I said, it is a beautiful day here in Atlanta, but it's really, really cold. And we're really getting ready in the U.S. for the great Christmas season holidays. And I was walking in the mall today, and I heard beautiful music, and everybody has their Christmas trees up, and there's great Christmas songs. And so in the U.S., we're just really in a great spirit of celebration. How about you? Well, I am doing well. I am really excited about December. Can you really believe that it's already December? My goodness. And I am really endeavoring to bring to you just some of the best people in this last month to really help you to begin to change, to shift paradigms, and just to begin to manifest in your life and become the great man or woman of God that God has created you to be. And, of course, you know, I'm always excited, and today is no exception. I have a great guest with me today. My guest today is Mr. Derek Rydell, and we're going to be talking about the law of emergence. I mean, before I talked to Derek, I had never heard of the law of emergence. What about you? So I want you to get your pen and your pad out. You know, I always say that, and I want you to prepare to take really interesting notes. And if something just sort of just jumps out at you, that is God talking to you. You know, I always say that I believe that if you are listening to this show today, that the Spirit of God directed you to this show, and today you will find hope, encouragement, and solutions for your life. So I want you to listen to this really quick commercial, and then we will be right back.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold, your success coach. Do you feel stuck? Are you ready for change in the areas of business, relationships, or career? Then contact me today for your complimentary coaching session. We will partner together to develop individualized strategies and projects that will move you towards the life of your dreams. So email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com or visit my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and discover and take advantage of the diverse coaching packages that I have designed just with you in mind.
Well, thank you so much for listening to my coaching commercial. And guess what? I have a special offer for you. I get letters from all over the world saying, Constance, I just cannot afford your coaching. And you know, I'm a very spirit-led kind of girl with just a little touch of Southern flavor. And just last week, I was listening to Bob Proctor, and I just happened to go on his website. How many of you know that nothing just happens? And I saw that he was giving his clients a substantial discount on his coaching services. And so what I said was, well, you know, God, I feel like I'm going to give, as my Christmas gift to my listeners all over the world, a discount on my coaching services. So this is what I'm going to do for all of you who say, Constance, I really want to coach with you. Constance, I really need your help, but I really can't afford it. This is your opportunity. So what the Spirit led me to do is I'm going to be offering my one-half-year coaching package for 50% off of the original price. Now, the original price is $499, and what I'm going to do is give to you half of that. And so you just need to make a one-time payment of $250 on or before the 31st. You know, that's just $41 per session, and most of you know that I am a licensed therapist, and so I normally charge $150 to $500 per hour, or if you fly in to see me, it's a lot more. So go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and there will be a special link, Christmas coaching special just for you, and click that and take advantage of this great coaching opportunity, this great coaching package, my Christmas gift to you that would last for a lifetime. No more excuses. Well, are you ready? I am so excited. I'm trying to slow down so that you can hear every word that I'm saying today. But my guest today is Mr. Derek Rydell, and he has such an extensive bio. I'm just going to let him talk a little bit more about who he is. He is a licensed integrative therapist, a professional coach, speaker, and author. And Derek has held leadership positions at Agape International Spiritual Center. And, of course, we know that's the home of Dr. Micah Beckwith, who appeared in The Secret. I just love Dr. Beckwith. And as I understand it, Derek is and has been mentored by Dr. Beckwith, so that should tell you something about him. He has helped to develop over 20 feature film screenplays, and he's just very connected to Hollywood and just the film industries. Studios such as Fox, Universal, Sony, Disney World, et cetera. And wow, as I said to him earlier, we have a rock star on today. He's also a professional writer, and he has been a ghost writer for, I think, about 6 books, and he's authored 2 of his own. And he's currently working on a powerful book that I've been reading. My eyes are red just from reading the draft, The Law of Emergence. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But more importantly, I want to talk to you about how Derek and I met. Most of you know I have a very popular show, and I get emails from people every day, 2, 3, 4, 5 emails every day, Constance, I would like to be a guest on your show. And most of the time my assistant handles those, but for some reason, and we know that it was the Spirit of God, remember I always talk about how that little hunch, the Spirit just led me to call him back. I called, and we talked, and I was just so moved by what he's going to share today that I think I'm going to have him on twice. And so you're going to be grateful that I brought this great man of God on today, and I'm just so honored to have Derek Rydell. Derek, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you, Constance. What a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Well, tell my listener just a little bit about who you are and your background.
Well, yeah, you've certainly given them, a good overview in terms of being a writer and a coach and a therapist. And, you know, what happened, I started off as an actor and was in film and TV and have always been on a search for truth. And while I was shooting a film in Jamaica, I had a brush with death experience. And in that experience where I was certain, not was thinking it might happen, but was utterly and completely certain that I would die, that I would drown. I was caught underwater in a reef for a long time with no way out. Couldn't see where I was. I was surrounded by fire coral and staked coral and sharks, sand sharks circling below me. And at a point where I had run out of all the scenarios that I thought somebody might come along and save me, I surrendered my life completely to God. And in that instant, a wave came and washed me up onto the one area where I could stand without being skewered by this spiked coral. And as I stood up out of this labyrinth of coral, I could see that the exit that I'd been searching for was right behind me all along. And with that big picture view, I was able to slip back in and swim out of that area. But my life has never been the same. And for the next year or so after that experience, I had a period of a lot of dreams about death and destruction, and had a spiritual initiation, a big opening, and pulled out of the entertainment industry and decided I was going to become a monk. And then that ultimately didn't quite work out. So I decided I was going to become a minister, and then that didn't quite work out. And eventually I sort of held up in my apartment and created my own monastery in the middle of the city, where I meditated and prayed and journaled for, you know, several years, cut off from media and all of that, and emerged from that experience where the voice told me that I was to go back into media, and that media and movies and all of that would be my ministry. And that led to the various projects you mentioned, certain books and screenplays, and sort of a more conscious approach to media and entertainment. And that has evolved also to coaching and teaching artists and entertainment professionals, as well as people from all walks of life, in how to live a more passionate, purposeful, prosperous life. And my latest work, The Law of Emergence, is really part of the glimpse I had from the very beginning, which is that everything that we could ever be searching for or seeking or struggling to get or achieve is already within us. And we don't have to make it happen, achieve it, or struggle even to attract it. That it's already within us.
Go ahead.
So that's it. Go ahead.
That is so interesting, Derek, because I had never heard of the law of emergence. And so when we talked initially, I was very moved by that great information that you shared, that great revelation, because it's deeper than information. So for my listeners, what is the law of emergence, and how is it different than the law of attraction?
Yeah, well, the law of attraction is a beautiful law, and it's absolutely real, and it's true. And the challenge with activating the law of attraction so often is that when we seek to attract something and to manifest something using our imagination, whether it's visualization, vision boards, affirmations, there is a great tendency, consciously or not, for us to be doing that from a reaction to our own self-image, from a reaction to our upbringing, cultural conditioning, parental fantasies, etc. And so even if we manifest what we think we want and need, we often magnify the very negative self-image issues that we already have. And so, like I say, we might get a bigger house but feel less at home, or we might get a bigger paycheck but just feel broke at a higher income bracket. And or we don't manifest what we're trying to go for, but we do exacerbate our sense of inadequacy and a sense of lack, because we're magnifying those issues. So the law of emergence, what the law of emergence understands as a premise, is that everything that we could ever want, hope for, or desire is already within us, in the same way that the oak tree is already in the acorn. The acorn doesn't have to go out and attract oak parts. It doesn't have to achieve a state of oakhood. It doesn't have to struggle and strive and become worthy of being an oak. It is an oak in potential. And when the conditions are right, that it truly is in potential naturally emerges. And the same is true for us. The seed of potential is already planted in the soil of our soul. And when the conditions are right, which we have full control over, then that which we are naturally emerges.
Wow, so what you're saying is everything that we need is already in us.
As it says in the Bible, for those that read that particular book, seek first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you, and the kingdom of heaven is within you. So,
and so, you know, you talked about cultivating the seed. So if it's already within us, how do we get it out? What do we do?
Well, the first step is really coming to an acceptance. And sometimes there's a leap of faith we have to take, but a beginning of an acceptance that this is true, that it really is already within us. We've been so enculturated in a belief that we are somehow born empty and we have to fill ourselves up, or we're half-baked or half-cooked and we have to complete ourselves. And when there's all these messages, we're constantly bombarded by the media with what Michael Beckwith calls malicious hypnotism. And we are hypnotized in believing that we're lacking, that we're inadequate. And so the first step is really beginning to embrace the truth that we already have it all, that we're already whole. As I say, self-improvement is an oxymoron because the self, when rightly understood, is already perfect and complete. So that's the first stage, and that's a very important stage. That begins to create the inner conditions of acceptance. So we accept that we've already got it all. Then we have to accept right where we are is perfect. And that's another really difficult one that requires a degree of faith and forgiveness, and that wherever we are, it's perfect. And the reason why that's so important is that any attempt to improve ourselves or improve our lives from a perception that we aren't enough or our lives aren't enough sows a seed of future lack and suffering. Because the real message we're sending out there, the real message we're programming into our consciousness and into the universal law is, I'm not enough. I don't have enough. My life isn't enough. So no matter how many good actions we take, that's really the prayer. And it is done unto you as you believe. So it's very important that we start with acceptance. Otherwise, we are literally creating resistance to the very thing that's trying to emerge.
So, Derek, so what you're saying is that, let's just say, for example, if a person might be really going through a very difficult time financially and there appears to be a lot of lack in their lives, do they resist that? What should they do in a situation like that?
That's a great question. It's obviously so appropriate. And the first thing is to become still and to begin to accept. And when I say accept, I don't mean acquiesce. I don't mean surrender to some limited negative fate. It means to let go of resistance. What you resist persists. What you fight, you fuel. That's just a fact. The universal law doesn't know the difference between I want or I don't want. It only knows the focus of your attention. So if you're resisting your situation, you are actually giving it more and more energy. You know, again, there's another scriptural statement that says, to he who has, more shall be given. To he who has not, even that which he has shall be taken away. And what that is a mystical truth, which is that when you have a having consciousness, in other words, if you have just $1 and you focus on that $1 and embody a sense of I have, that consciousness of I have begins to expand. But if you focus on the $99 you don't have, then you, no matter what you do is you begin to expand a consciousness of I don't have. And so you'll get more of I don't have, or you'll get more of I have based on what you're focusing on. So wherever we are, we must start by accepting it and then looking for what we can focus on that we have. And what you appreciate appreciates. It grows. It expands.
Wow, that's so powerful. You know, you just talked about answered prayer. How can our problems become answered prayer? And can you elaborate on that? Because a lot of people are praying and they're trying to resist their problems and they're like, God is not hearing me because I'm still in the same situation. Talk a little bit about our problems and answered prayer.
Yeah, this is such a big topic and such an important one, you know, especially when you see all the problems that seem to be going on in the world and in our lives. And one thing to understand is, because metaphysically, mystically, and even from quantum physics point of view now, we understand there really is only one life going on everywhere. There's one something. The quantum physicists call it the field of all possibilities. You know, Christians might call it heaven or God. A religious person might call it God. Whatever you call it, there's only one something going on, and it's ultimately good. It has to be good, or it would have already destroyed itself, because there's only this one thing going on. And there's a saying that says, behind every human aberration is a spiritual aspiration. Or again, in the Bible it says, man may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So it's important to understand that everything that's happening, no matter how it appears, is actually conspiring for our freedom. It's called being an inverse paranoid, which means you believe everything is conspiring for your good instead of against you. And when you realize that that's actually true, then you begin to look at your problems and recognize that they are emblems or symbols of something that's trying to emerge in your life. Now, to understand this, it's important to understand, if I can elaborate here a little more, is that when you pray or you set an intention or have a sincere desire, in that instant, it's answered. It's answered always instantly. But here's the problem. As that larger energy or that larger sense of self, let's say you're praying for abundance and you're intending and affirming greater abundance, please know that it's answered in that instant. But now as that greater quality and sense of abundance tries to emerge through your consciousness and through your life, it's trying to emerge through those limited self-concepts that you're holding on to. And to the extent that you're still participating in conversations, thoughts, and activities of lack and limitation, you are creating a narrow, you've got a narrow concept or filter that that abundance is trying to squeeze through in your mind and your consciousness. And so as it does that, it starts to shake those concepts and those structures up. And that appears as inner crisis, inner emotional struggle, and ultimately outer crisis. But the meaning of that crisis or that problem is that you are holding on to a limited identity that it is now time to release. As I like to say, you don't solve your problems. Problems are there to help you evolve. Your problems dissolve when you choose to evolve. And so when the problems arise, the question to ask is not, how do I solve this problem? But what is trying to emerge through me by means of this problem? What greater life? What greater quality, talent, or insight? And as you set that as your prayer, you will become the right conditions for insight and for revelation and for compelling guidance and right action that will not merely solve your problem, but will take you and your life to a whole new level of living.
That's amazing. So you talk about how our crisis really crack us open. So anybody who's going through any kind of struggle right now, they can see how that can serve them to go to the next level. How is that?
Well, this is a great question, because so often, and this is where, you know, using a lot of the manifestation techniques can actually ironically get us into some trouble and really thwart our true evolution, is that, for example, there are certain seeds in the forest that require a forest fire in order to crack them open so that they can germinate and become trees, so they can fulfill their potential, their destiny. But imagine that that seed has self-consciousness like we do, and it sees that forest fire coming. Well, what's it going to do if it has all these tools and skills? It's going to start praying and affirming and visualizing and creating vision boards of a forest without fires. It's going to try to pray away those fires, or it might pray that firemen show up to put out the fires. And ironically, if it succeeds at that prayer, which seems very logical, that prayer, if it succeeds at that and it causes the fires to go out or to not touch them, it will have actually failed at fulfilling its destiny. And it will remain a very good seed, perhaps, but it will never become the great and mighty tree that it's meant to be. And so often, this is what happens in our lives. We experience problems and crises, and we think they're bad, and we think the problem is a problem, and so we try to pray it away, instead of recognizing that it's an evolutionary catalyst. And that every challenge, every crisis, every problem that we're experiencing, it's not because we're bad people, it's not because we're sinners, it's not because we said the wrong prayer, it's an opportunity and a call for us to grow and expand, let go of our protective shell, and really allow a potential that has never happened before to emerge in our life.
Well, that's amazing.
Hello, this is Constance Arnold. Do you have an upcoming conference or an event where you need a keynote speaker or leadership training? With over 25 years of experience, I am a recognized international leader in the areas of self-motivation and maximizing human potential. I have been the featured keynote speaker and trainer for numerous Fortune 500 companies such as Delta Airlines, Lockheed Martin, and the Russell Simmons Success Tour. I would love to partner with you to develop customized speaking and training that would change and empower your organization in 2011. So visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and take a look at my speakers page to see a detailed listing of my clientele and speaking services. or you can email me personally at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Derek, talk about consciousness. What is consciousness and why is that important?
Well, that's another big, big topic, obviously, but consciousness, to understand in the simplest sense, is to be aware. And so we are at root, even the quantum physicists now are saying that all that there is this field, and what they're even calling it is consciousness. So the universe is pure consciousness, pure awareness. And we are evolving states of awareness. We are like individualized centers in this one mind, this one consciousness. We are like unique ways that this one life, whatever name you call it, is knowing and experiencing itself. And so whatever we become conscious of is what we experience. That doesn't make it true in the ultimate sense, but whatever we're conscious of, we begin to experience. And in the simplest way, you know, is you ever gone out and bought a car and all of a sudden you just see those cars everywhere? It's like,
why does that happen?
Well, it's because you have an intensified awareness of that particular idea, of that particular image. And so your consciousness, or what people understand is the reticular activating system in your brain, it begins to hone in on, and through a process sort of a cognitive dissonance, it begins to cut away, make you unaware now of certain things and more heightenedly aware of the things that you're more focusing on. And that's why, when you do affirmations and have vision boards and do all these things and you really focus and you heighten your awareness of a particular quality or idea, you do begin to bring that potentiality out of the field of all possibilities, or this quantum field, and we'll have a greater chance of seeing it in your life. The problem, of course, occurs is that while we may be consciously focusing on, that abundance, unconsciously we might be focusing on a lot of lack. And so if that outweighs what we're consciously focusing on, then what we will tend to experience is increasing lack. But nevertheless, consciousness is our awareness. And what we ultimately are conscious of must clothe itself in form and experience.
Well, that is so rich. That is so rich. I know you have a great example in your book about this guy who wanted a Mercedes. Share that with our listeners.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, basically, he used, it's one of the challenges of using, manifestation techniques without purely from the manifestor stage rather than the emergence stage, is that he did all this work to manifest a Mercedes. He visualized it, he affirmed it, he did all these things, and he brought a Mercedes into his experience. And then the Mercedes started breaking down, and he couldn't afford to keep it up. And it became like an albatross. And pretty soon he had to, spend most of his time praying to get himself out of the mess he prayed himself into. And so the problem was that he had attained a Mercedes, but he hadn't really attained Mercedes consciousness. He hadn't, as Gandhi says, you must become the change you want to see in the world. And that's ultimately what's true. There's another saying that God responds to us by corresponding to its own nature in us, so that when we become a correspondent for something in our consciousness, or a mental equivalent to something, then it must manifest in our experience. As when we truly have aligned with abundance and consciousness, and there's a saying in the Bible where two or three are gathered in my name in agreement, it is done, or there I am. And this is true also, understanding from a psychological and psycho-spiritual perspective, when our thoughts, our words, and our actions are in alignment with our vision, then we become congruent. And we become a correspondent energy, or create the right conditions for that idea to now emerge in our experience. And so that's very, very important to understand that.
And you talked about attracting who you are, and I guess one of the second most popular question that I get, Derek, is how can I attract my soulmate, or how can I attract the love of my life? So what would you say to my listeners all over the world who may be saying right now, Constance and Derek, I'm just tired of being myself, and I have my vision poster up, my vision board up, I have my intention set, and I've written down all the characteristics of the man or woman that I desire, and how can I attract my soulmate in 2011?
Yes, of course. That is one of the number one things that people are interested in. And the important thing to understand is there's only really one relationship, and that is your relationship with yourself, or your relationship with God, which in this context is within you, not outside of you. And so that is really the only relationship we're ever in, because we can never get outside of our own consciousness. And as Marianne Williamson once said, how can you expect somebody to spend the rest of their life with you if you can hardly stand to spend one night with yourself? And so, I forget who it was that said this, but that all of man's problems stem from his or her inability to be alone with themselves in a room. And so it's really important to understand that the people in our lives are ultimately the projections or the personifications of our own consciousness. And so whoever's in our life is an expression of a dimension of our own self, of our own heart. And the very best way to attract to us the love of our life is to become the love of our life. I mean, because this is the thing. We enter into relationships to get love or to get happiness, but we have to enter relationships and bring the love and bring the happiness. Whatever's missing in any situation is what we're not bringing. Because we ultimately carry the whole thing within us, all the love in the universe, all the power, all the communion, all the companionship, everything that we could ever want, hope for, desire, or need in a relationship or in anything, it's not out there, it's not in someone else, I promise you, I'm telling you what I know, it's in us. And when we fall in love with ourselves, when we fall in love with our life, and we begin to activate the love and the peace and the joy and the fulfillment right where we are, that love always seeks a larger platform for its expression. It cannot help itself. I guarantee if you fall in love with yourself and you fall in love with your life and you begin to become, instead of all those qualities that you put up on your vision board of the perfect mate, begin to make that your assignment. You become the perfect mate to yourself. Take all those qualities on for yourself. And as you do that, and as you become that vibration and that individual, you will have to beat them off with a stick. You know? And not only that, but the most important thing is you'll be whole and you'll be free and you'll be content now, regardless of another person. And then you will come into a relationship as a free agent, there to bring the love, there to be of service, there to celebrate and be in love together. A relationship is not a bike built for two. It's two bikes driving down the same path. And so you come into a relationship with that wholeness, and now you're free to be yourself. Now you won't get caught up in trying to, you know, conform yourself into some pretzel so that they'll still love you and accept you and approve of you and appreciate you and never leave you. We don't want that. That's not really what we want. But until we get the wholeness within ourselves, we'll keep attracting some version of that so that we can ultimately become free.
And you know, when you talk about going inside, that's just such a shift in our thinking, because we've been taught all of our lives is outside of us, not going on the inside, that all of the good is already on the inside, and we just have to awaken and discover it there.
Yes, absolutely.
But that's such a shift.
It's a huge shift. It's a 180-degree shift from what we've been taught. And I even will say it's a big shift from what a lot of even religious teachings and even spiritual and success teachings, in all best intentions, still have us seeking something outside of us to make us whole and complete. That's why I like to say I'm about the end of the self-improvement movement, because, you know, even all of that with the best intentions still tends to give us this underlying message that we're not already complete. And what I know with absolute certainty is that we are. and that the kingdom of heaven or the storehouse of infinite riches or the whole quantum universe or whatever terminology, nirvana, whatever terminology you want to use, it really is all within us. We really do have infinite wealth, health, joy, companionship, peace, everything we need already contained within us. And when we connect with that and we create the right inner conditions that allow us to begin to experience that within us, those conditions make our soul the fertile soil for our great destiny to begin emerging like never before.
That's so powerful. Well, if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Derek Rydell. He's a licensed integrative therapist, a professional coach, speaker, and author. And we're talking about the law of emergence. Well, you know, we are slowly getting to the end of this year, Derek, and you know, in the U.S. at least, there's always this thing about setting goals and setting intentions and New Year's resolutions. I got that out. So how can we begin to move forward toward our goals and our dreams? You know, so many people, this has been a difficult year for so many people, and a lot of people might feel like their dreams have been crushed. With everything that's going on, how can we begin to move forward to what our heart's desire really is?
Yes, absolutely. I think one good practice is to take an inventory of the year and to do what I call the night pages, which is a series of lists where you begin to acknowledge everything that you have, both internally and externally, whatever you can find. I have a little bit of gratitude. I have this talent. I have this thing in my life, a list of everything you have, a list of everything you're grateful for, a list of everything you've achieved, no matter how seemingly insignificant, a list of all your successes, and a list of we tend to focus on what we can't do, what we don't have, and so based on whatever your dream is, a list of everything that you can do, that you are capable of. And so as you create those lists, you begin to cultivate that condition inside of you of I am, I have, I can, I am able. And that is a resonance that is conducive to allowing for that greater potential to continue to unfold in your life. So that's the first step. And along the way, also, you can begin to do a forgiveness process to begin to release those things about this year. And then entering into the new year and making a new resolve is what I believe is most important is that your intention look more than it be about some specific thing. My prayer is always, you know, God, more than I want to change, fix, or heal or manipulate my life in any way, I want to wake up to the life that you have already created. And you can speak that to your higher power, to whatever word works for you, but it's a prayer or an intention. More than you want to change anything in your life is to wake up to that perfect idea that's already planted in you. Because as you wake up, as thou seest, so thou beest. As you begin to wake up to who and what you really are, catch a vision that is alive and real in you, it will propel and compel you much more than any surface resolution ever does. Because a lot of our resolutions are, again, a reaction to our self-image, to a wound, to a fear. And then they don't tend to stick because they are a form of resistance. But when we catch a vision, then we're living from inspiration. And so I really, really encourage you to do that. Now, if there is a burning desire in you, understand again from this oneness model and this emergence model that desire really means of the sire or of the fathering principle. In other words, that burning desire within you is not something that you don't have yet but that you want to get or that you need to achieve. That burning desire is something already in you trying to get out. You're pregnant with something. Something's trying to emerge in you, or you couldn't have that desire. So then your resolution becomes committing to that and beginning to nurture that like a child within your womb, to begin feeding it, nourishing it, cultivating those inner conditions for that desire, that idea that's trying to be born through you. And that, again, creates a much deeper connection and connects more deeply to your core values and vision so that it has the ability to fuel you through the year and through the trials and tribulations that you experience. So it's a much deeper approach to merely, again, a surface resolution. That makes sense, Constance?
It does. You know, you talked about how your experience really changed you, and it really made you really seek God very deeply. So for my listeners, what about spirituality and seeking God or seeking first the kingdom? How important is that?
Well, for me, more and more and more, it's ultimately the most important thing. And I think it's, again, it's because we've been educated into a belief that we're separate from our good, that we're separate from God. And if there is any original sin, it's really the belief or the perception that we are separate from God or from our ultimate good. And we're not, and we never have been. You know, if you notice in Genesis, in the Bible, it says, Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and a great sleep fell upon them. But nowhere does it say that they woke up. And so what I sincerely believe, and all the great mystics and teachers have confirmed, is that all of our experience of lack and limitation and problems is this dream, this human dream of being separate from God or from our good. And so that's why the great teachers have talked about waking up. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom, because he knew that if you seek first, or it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, or to know God aright is life everlasting, is that when our attention is focused on this something, God, the Spirit, the higher power, this presence within us, and that becomes our sole goal, because it really already contains everything that we've been seeking, as we attain a greater realization of our oneness with our Spirit, with this presence, then that consciousness, that conscious communion and connection literally is clothed by everything that we need in this world. That's why it says, seek first the kingdom and all these other things shall be added unto you. In the converse, whenever we seek something outside of us, it's an affirmation that we don't have it. And so we continue to experience the stress and the struggle of being the prodigal son or daughter who's cut apart from the Father's house, from our good, and who goes off and tries to live their life, or we are like the branch that is cut off from the tree that withers and dies. So that's an experience that we all have because we believe we're separate, and it's perpetuated by our constant striving after things outside of us. But again, when we make that connection within us, and that usually requires that we make that a top priority, then not only do we get that sense of freedom and inner peace that passes all human understanding, but then we get all the added things too, because that consciousness loathes itself as all the things that we need in this world.
You know, that is so true. And just, and Derek, in my own life personally, I'm right where you are, just really knowing that I can't be separated from God or my good. And so if I already have everything, if I already have my good, I don't have to search for it. I just have to awaken to it and discover what's already in me. And for me, that means just what you said, that I don't necessarily set intentions, but if I feel that the Spirit is leading me to do something or to move in a certain area, there's more power behind that than just me individually setting out an intention, because that's just what I want to do. So for all of my listeners, your relationship with God or Spirit or higher power, I mean, that's just the most powerful and crucial thing that you could do. And from that place of being one with God and knowing that you're not separated, you can live an extraordinary life.
Absolutely. And, you know that saying, what does it profit if a man, if he gains the world but loses his soul? And I would flip that around and say, if you have God and the whole world, you have nothing more than if you had God alone. I understand that it's a tough teaching, you know, because we are so not only indoctrinated and educated and unfortunately manipulated even by the media and the messages from culture to believe that we don't have it and that we're lacking and that we have to go get it and achieve it and become worthy of it. It's really tough, but not only that, but we literally has created a whole neurological, if you understand the working of the brain, it lays down a neural network. And so our whole nervous system has become conditioned. And that's why we have to be very gentle and patient with ourselves as we're doing this work and understand that, you know, we've really been conditioned, and just begin that sincere intention to wake up to who we really are and to see the world that God has created, to understand the self that God has created in God's image and likeness and named good already. That we just have a sincere intention. And as we do that, even if we don't do all the right actions, it will still turn out right. And that intention will begin to guide us like a rudder on a boat. But we have to be gentle and patient. You know, there's a saying, infinite patience equals instant results. And so
that's amazing.
It takes a degree of patience, you know, and love.
Well, you know, Derek, knowledge and revelation just oozes out of you. And I heard you say earlier that during that time after you almost died that you just sort of secluded yourself and you didn't watch any media. How important is just quiet time, being silent alone with God, higher power, spirit, infinite intelligence? How important is that? Should people be looking at television? What can we do to really develop that oneness or become more aware of our oneness with God or spirit?
Well, I believe particularly in the beginning of one's path, but ultimately always, as that spiritual sense of self begins to be born within you, it's so important to nourish and nurture and protect it. You know, that's the symbolic meaning of the Christ child being, you know, born in a manger and being brought and kept away from the main city for a while. It's that it's fragile and it's delicate, and we need to really take time to be with it and cultivate it. And so many of the messages from the media and friends and family, well-meaning though they are, can, you know, really begin to cloud up that fragile new awareness. It's also important, I believe, not to go out when you start to have these insights and just share them with anybody and everybody, because they won't understand them necessarily. And like it says again, do not cast your pearls before swine. That's not to say that your friends and family are a bunch of swine. It's that a pig doesn't judge between a pearl and a piece of garbage. They just trample over it or eat it, and it gets destroyed. So we have to be very aware and discerning as we're growing in this state, that we are clear who we're sharing with and whose company we keep. And so being alone with ourselves and having those quiet times and beginning to make discerning boundaries in our life is very important, though difficult at times, because people will think you're weird sometimes. People thought I was weird. People thought I joined a cult, you know, freaked out on Jesus, whatever. They just thought I was, you know, just really weird, really out there. And they were afraid even for my safety and my health and my well-being, my mother, my father, my brother. And you want to know something really interesting? As I held my spiritual ground within me and I continued to honor that impulse, regardless of what people thought, my mom ended up moving here and basically going to church, and now says that I was one of the great inspirations for her getting on a spiritual path. My dad is now one of my biggest supporters. My brother has now gotten this path. So like all these people that thought I was weird and strange and crazy are all now on their own path.
That is so interesting. Well, you know, you also mentioned that you have been mentored by Dr. Michael Beckwith. What has that experience been like for you?
Well, it's been, you know, just amazing and beautiful, and what an incredible honor. You know, there's few people that I'm aware of. I mean, they certainly exist on the planet, but there's few people that I'm aware of that you can be in their very presence, and just being in their presence, feel the rich, thick substance of the spirit. You literally feel it. And the yearning and the burning to know God, to know truth, to be better, to love more, to have a greater connection to your spirit, it's you can't help yourself but to want that when you're in his presence. Even if he's not talking to you, even if he's not looking at you, because there's a degree of consciousness that has been established, and so it's even more powerful, you know, than the words he speaks, though the words carry that vibration. So it's been you know, very much an honor. And there's other individuals. Another one of my mentors, who also co-founded and started Agape with Michael Beckwith, is Nirvana Reginald Gale, who's also a minister and an activist and all that. And he's been one of my you know, big living mentors.
So do you feel that everybody needs a mentor, and why?
I do think it's very important. I think if you look at, no matter where you look, whether it's in business, whether it's in athletics, whether it's in art, whether it's, you know, there's in art, you've got the mentor and the protege. In business, you've got, you know, behind the great leaders and innovators, you've got these great mentors. Behind the great athletes, you've got these great coaches. And they, even the best athletes still have great coaches and mentors. And even in the spiritual world, you see the great lineage where, you know, in whether it's called a guru or a master, they're mentors, and they do a couple things. They have a consciousness of wisdom because they've gone on the path you're going down, and they've overcome a lot of the obstacles. So their very consciousness can lift you and accelerate your growth, even beyond and exclusive to the very words they're teaching. Just being in their presence can lift you to a new level because they've already gone that way and done the inner work. But also, they can see your blind spots where you can't. And they can begin to, you know, Tiger Woods needs somebody to see when he's making that swing that he's slightly off. And so a great mentor can see where you can't see and help you along the path. So they have, obviously, the practical skills and knowledge to help you get where you want to go. They can see your blind spots, and they have a level of consciousness because they've been down that path to be able to lift you to another level and accelerate your growth. And I've used mentors all along, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mentors. I'm very clear of that.
Yeah, the same with me. We have about 5 minutes, Derek, and you know I've got to have you back for part two. Let's talk about purpose and destiny for my listeners who might be saying, you know, I'm a baby boomer, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life like right now. How can a person begin to discover their purpose and destiny?
The first thing, again, is to understand, and I wanted to say this before, you know, when you said about people feeling like maybe their dreams have been dashed against the stone, you know, because of bad times or economy or whatever. But first of all, understand that nothing outside of us has any power over us. No condition, no economic situation has any power, because that is all an effect, and our consciousness is cause. Second thing is that it doesn't matter what has happened in the past, no matter how much time has been lost. As it says, again, in the Bible, all the years the locust have eaten shall be restored unto you. That when you make that connection to your divine pattern, to that perfect idea within you, that purpose, no matter how much time has passed, it already has everything it needs to begin to fulfill itself through you. It's like if you take a lamp and it's been unplugged for years, but you plug it back into to the light socket, the lamp doesn't go, you know, it's too late, you know, my mom and my dad lamps that I'd never shine very brightly, and, you know, or, you know, the lamps like me just don't, people aren't interested anymore, so there's no way my light's going to shine. And no, you plug it in and it shines. You know, and the same thing is true. When we get plugged into that potential within us, that divine pattern, and the right conditions are created, that purpose for which we were born will begin to unfold, absolutely guaranteed. So it's important to begin to accept and contemplate and meditate on those concepts so that you can begin to release some of the limited beliefs and resistance that say it's too late, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that, I've missed my boat, I've missed my window. All of that is a lie that society has bred. It's not true. But if you believe it, a lie believed acts as law until it's neutralized. So we need to contemplate until we come to a level of acceptance that it's true. You have a purpose. It's still intact. You can still fulfill it no matter what. The second thing is to begin to ask the right questions, which is, what is my purpose? For what reason was I born? What is God's highest idea of my life? What is the universe's greatest vision of my life? And then begin to listen and spend time in silence, really listening. The second thing is, look at what are your burning heart's desires, what are the things in the world that really break your heart, and begin to look behind those and see that there's something trying to emerge. There's an idea, there's a talent, there's a skill, there's a vision, there's a mission. And begin to articulate that, write about that. And then finally, ask yourself, if I was guaranteed success, I had all the money I need, all the fame I needed, and I was guaranteed success, what would I do with my life? And that question begins to clear away a lot of the reasons, rationalizations, and excuses that our ego uses to not let us get clear. Ask that question and answer it honestly. You'll begin to get some very powerful insights into the direction that you need to be moving.
Derek, just awesome information. I've got to have you back for part two. I already knew it even before we recorded this show today. So how can our listeners reach you? What is your website? What is your contact information? And what kind of services do you offer?
Well, they can reach me at Derek Rydell. That's DerekRydell.com. Where there's a lot of information there. They can also go to Law of Emergence. That's LAWOFEMERGENCE.com. And they can get a free e-course, a very, very jam-packed e-course on the Law of Emergence right now. And I'm not sure how much longer it will be free, so I encourage them to go ahead and get it right now. They can get that at lawofemergence.com or at derekrydell.com, and that will really, really educate them in this principle, and it will really help to take their life to a new level. And there's other things coming out. There's a home study course, an e-book, and a book eventually, and a movie coming, you know, all these things coming out, a coaching program. But I encourage them to start with the free e-course so they can just get going on it, and then contact me if they want to take it further.
You are an extraordinary teacher and an extraordinary man of God, and your work has radically changed me, and I think I've just been exposed to it for about 2 weeks, and I'm going to encourage my listeners all over the world to go to his website and just absorb and meditate and really get a real revelation of the Law of Emergence. And I'm going to have you back, Derek, on my show again, hopefully before the end of the year. What parting words would you like to leave with my listeners all over the world?
Well, again, what I would like to, if I could just sit before you and tell you and look into your eyes, is that I know that you've been through a lot, and there's a lot of stuff out there in the world, a lot of voices and messages outside and perhaps inside. But what I hope for you to understand and really intend for you to discover is that no matter what has happened, no matter what you believe, you are right now already whole, complete, and perfect. And you already have within you everything on every level that you need, want, hope for, and desire to fulfill that destiny of greatness for which you were born. I guarantee it. And I encourage you to begin to accept it and to begin asking, if that's true, then where do I go from here? And please contact me. I want to help you in any way possible to engineer the full emergence of your life, because I like to call myself an emergineer. And please contact me, and we'll get started on that.
I love that. Thank you so much, Derek. And I'm just going to encourage my listeners once again, go to his website and really get all of this powerful, life-changing information. Well, I want to thank you again for joining me. This is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show, saying to you that the best is yet to come, and God bless you and have a fantastic week.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.